goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Someone said something to me the other week. They had read a book entitled Preaching While Bleeding. And at first I thought how awkward of a thing that would be, and why would you do that? Why would you not get the wound taken care of before you get back behind the desk? So I began to read a little bit of an excerpt from the book that I had seen on Amazon. And the key point behind that was, in your preparation for preaching and in your preaching, you are in fact working on your wound. So here we are. Just want to thank those of you in your place. We're doing what you do. Thanks, Sister Sarah, or I should say Deacon Cody, for being in the house today.
Amen.
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 Every time the door opens, there she is. And what y'all may not realize is she go to church first before she get here. And you know, I have learned quickly where to put folks in my life. And I got a text message the other day that says, Pastor, it's Sarah. And just wanted to check on you and give me a call. So I gave her a call, and I don't even know if she realizes it. When I hung up the phone, I looked at the timer because my ear was warm, and I looked and it said 1 hour and 45 minutes, and we had been disconnected in there and called back and started over again. But I thank you for being an encouragement to me. I thank you for your words of wisdom. And I don't even know that was the purpose of the call. But she said something to me, because in my mind, I didn't say in the vision, in my mind, I had a certain thing in my mind. And she spoke a word to me yesterday, whether intentionally or not, that resonated within me the rest of the day yesterday. Every time I woke up through the middle of the night, it came right back to the forefront of my mind. And it was, well, you do what needs to be done as many times as you need to do it until you get where God needs you to be. And so that helped to shift me back to looking at the vision that God had given me for this house versus what my mind's picture looked like. Amen. So thank you for being a friend to me. I love you and I honor you. And I just thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to me. I'm hot in this robe. This is a fall robe, and we don't have fall temperatures, but I wanted to let everybody that see me today know that I am unapologetically a black man.
Amen.
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 I will not apologize for being black, nor the style of worship in how I worship my God.
Yeah.
Amen. So here we are.
Yeah.
Y'all ought to been on your feet on that one, because unless you're sorry to be brown people, then you should be quiet. But if you're glad that God made you who you are, with a praise in your spirit and a song on y'all to get up and just give God some praise right now, y'all can do better than that. Before you long, we'll get through this quickly, and I will be honest, because this will probably offend somebody, and that is not the intention of this message. We need to make sure that we don't confuse conviction with offense.
Yeah.
A friend of mine in Philadelphia was having an issue, and he called me and he said, I need to preach on it, and I can't I can't, I'm too angry, I can't get a word out, I can't hear from anything. Will you help me? And I said, Ryan, what do you need? He said, will you write a message for me? I said, well, I'll pray about it and I'll see what happens. And I did it. And I sent it to him, not realizing that it was going to be for me too. So this may appear to be a little confusing, but it wasn't initially for this house. Amen?
Amen.
1 Kings 19, 1 and 3. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid, and he rose up and he ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. Talking briefly on the subject of, are you in bed with Jezebel? And now it's quiet. So let's talk about it. We're talking about Queen Jezebel, and she wanted to kill the servant of the Lord, Elijah. And today in the current affairs of the world, we see that the spirit of Jezebel is moving violently. There's news of terrorism. There's news of persecution and oppression to those people in the church. Christians are being hunted down and killed in other countries. But in this country, crosses are being removed from church buildings in certain parts of the world. Children of the Lord are being ridiculed and not allowed to share the good news, and God's moral standards are because of a so-called evolved and progressive society which do not accept it are being challenged. I'm talking about this country right now. Crosses are being removed from church buildings so folks don't get offended when they drive by. How crazy of a thing is that? Churches are being divided over marriage statuses and things of that nature. How crazy is that? Churches are being torn apart and rifts are being made because folks want to say that is not new. That's old way of thinking. That is old school, when the Bible says in him there is no shadow of turning. I'm talking about what is happening right now.
Amen.
Religious statues are being moved from places like courthouses. The Ten Commandments are being removed from places like courtrooms and magistrates' offices. See, y'all aren't hearing me.
Amen.
This is a Jezebel spirit.
Yes.
Are we in bed with her?
No.
Well, come on, somebody. The first thing we need to do to understand that before we can actually answer that question correctly is we need to debunk a couple misconceptions about a Jezebel spirit. When you think about it, what do you think about? Y'all talk to me. When you think about someone says, oh, that Jezebel, what do you automatically think? You think about a woman, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, you got it. You got it. You've been reading something. But most of us, we say, we think of it as a woman,
yeah.
Right? But listen, Jezebel is not a demon spirit assigned solely to women. Amen? Jezebel is a territorial principality spirit that does not inhabit a particular body of one person. Are you listening to me? It is a territorial principality that sits down in a place of worship and usually attacks leadership first. See, you missed that. Jezebel is a territorial, what did I say, principality. What does the Bible say? It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians talked about this. Paul talked about this. So we know it is a real thing. Let me share something with you. Jezebel, the Jezebel spirit, is something that transcends all denominations. It is the one thing that the Catholics and Christians agree on, that the Jezebel spirit is real. Even the cults will address a Jezebel spirit. Listen, I say if it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we need to pay extra attention to it. If it is something that transcends non-denominational lines and different styles of worship and different races, if it's something that we all have in common, we had best look at that thing closely. Jezebel is one of those things. Ephesians talks about spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, and Jezebel is one of those. Jezebel directs earthly. We can do a class on this, but earthly first heaven demons to bring damage and destruction to God's people. Jezebel's agenda is more extensive than just ungodly control and manipulation like we normally give credit to. The Bible says a wicked spirit that has roamed the earth for thousands of years seeking someone to entice into sin. Jezebel is more than a spirit of control and manipulation that many make it out to be. Jezebel is a spirit of seduction that works to woo people into immorality and idolatry. See, you missed that. It is a spirit of seduction. In order to seduce someone, you have to appeal to their flesh. Amen. I'm not just talking about sexual stuff. If you want to get somebody on your side and they didn't want nothing to do with you before, you've got to find out what makes them tick. And you've got to appeal to the flesh in them to get them to do what you need them to do without them realizing that you've done it. Jezebel seduces your will through the lust of the flesh to carry out her plan to steal, kill, and destroy. See, that's the thing we miss. We say, oh, that feels good. Oh, that seems right. Oh, the void that I had is now filled up. We don't realize that filling that void, the void is there for a reason. Amen. And when something that is not of God comes to fill that space up, you will separate yourself. Not realizing that now you feel fulfilled, but really it is a plan that has been set in motion to rob you of your joy, amen, to steal your inheritance, and to ultimately take your life. So the question is it worth it? Jezebel, spirit at work. People influenced by a spirit of Jezebel have fear issues of rejection. Am I talking to anybody? They control others so they won't get hurt. Generally, there is a history of trauma or abuse that goes back to childhood.
Amen.
Jezebel spirits target the headship. They offer free help. Amen, somebody. Amen. They offer free help to be a top assistant because they want their protection. It hides them from the view of the leader, but it then will manifest itself in other areas, which is why it is important that we stay prayed up. Amen.
Amen.
They make commitments and promises very quickly and use the recommendations or the words of other people as their own to impress other folks. They seem super spiritual in an exaggerated way to gain acceptance and attention. However, they have their own agenda. They're looking for disciples of their own. They whine until they get their way, and they make it so no one will talk to them because they already know they're going to throw a fit. So you just give in to the way. That is a Jezebel spirit. That when you give in, when you compromise, you give up a piece of your territory. And if Jezebel is a territorial spirit, one and one is two. They isolate and they put people against each other privately and individually behind closed doors. They make messes and then won't show their face in church. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We act like we ain't been in church our whole life, most of us. And have we not seen it?
Yes.
I've watched a church get torn apart from 100 and some members to 12 over a Jezebel spirit. And after the church was torn apart, did the man never came back?
Yeah.
He never came. Did he never? He never came back. When you kill something, you don't have to go back and re-kill it, right? You go and look for something else to kill.
Yeah.
I don't rebury folks. Yeah, once you in there, you in there. Next. Come on, somebody. And that's just what a demon will do. That's just what a okay, I got that. That's dead. Let me move on to the next. Ain't no sense for me to go to church with her anymore because I done killed her spirit. Let me move on to the next pew. They look for others who are hurt and wounded, and then they put themselves in a mentoring position.
Yes.
That's how you build a gang.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
Look, I'm from the street. That's how you build a gang. You look for folks who are wounded.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm going to mentor you. And before you know it, you take two steps and you got five people behind you. And then five people just as wounded and broken up looking at you and you acting like you got it all together before you know it, you got 15.
Uh-huh.
Can't make a decision for themselves because they're waiting to hear from you. And you ain't the head. They accuse people falsely. They operate with insecurity. And they initiate prayers based on selfish motivation. And if the spirit is operating in your sphere of influence, then it is time to take action. Scripture makes it very clear that if we allow the works of Jezebel, we are equally as sinful. Did you hear that? If we allow the works of Jezebel on purpose, we are equally as sinful. And I will share this with you. You know, listen, when I stand before the Lord, I've got a laundry list of stuff that I need to be accountable to him for. I've got a laundry list of things that I need to answer to him for. I'm talking about me. Y'all can pretend that you don't, but I will be real. I've got to stand before him, and I've got to confess things that I've done, things that I've said, things that I've allowed to happen. I've got to confess all of that stuff and be accountable for it. The one thing I will not do at 44 years of age is add the blood of the saints to my testimony. I will not have the Lord ask me, why did you let that go when I told you it wasn't right? The Bible says, I know your deeds. I know your love. And listen to these. Listen to this. The Bible says, I know your deeds, your love and your faith, your service and your perseverance. And I know now that you are doing more than you did first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. And by her teaching, she misleads the servants into immorality and the eating of food that has been sacrificed to idols. The street Bible would say it like this. Look, I know, I see you. I see you coming to church. I see your love for the church. I see your love for the pastor. I see your faithfulness and your diligence. I see all the service that you're doing to the kingdom. I see that you press your way to the house even though you don't want to go. Y'all gonna hear me today? I see the way you press to the house even though you don't feel like going. I see that you get up and you get yourself ready and you deal with everything. I see how you press your way to the house, and I see that you've grown, and I see that you're doing more than you did when you first got there, but nevertheless, I've got a problem with you. You tolerate stuff from people who call themselves a prophet. And what they're doing is they're teaching and misleading people into immorality. Now, the problem with that is the spirit of Jezebel has entered into the church. In Jeremiah 17 and 9, it says the heart is deceitful above all things. I didn't say, see, folks get mad with the pastor, but the pastor didn't write the Bible. I'm going to read you what it says. If it hurts, say, ouch, fix yourself and move on. Don't get mad at the mess. I didn't write it. The Bible says that our heart is deceitful above everything. And it is desperately sick. So much so, who can understand it? That means the heart of every human being, regardless of who we are, that includes the pastor, that includes the deacons and the music ministry and the elders and the overseers. It includes all of us, whether we're Christians, followers, disciples of Christ. But before we were pastors, before we were prophets, before we were evangelists and teachers, we should check our hearts and make sure that they line up and are in accordance with the infallible word of Jesus Christ. Jezebel was proud. She was envious. And the only reason that she wanted to kill Elijah was because her pride was dented. Her religion had been defeated by the God of Israel, and Elijah dented her pride, and it made her jealous. Did you ever meet somebody when they get jealous or when their pride gets dented? Did you ever come across a spirit like that? The essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Listen, unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, all that stuff is trash in comparison to pride. Are you following me? Are you listening? All of the things that we deal with, all of the different things, the character flaws that make us up, jealousy, backbiting, all of those little things, they're mere garbage when it compares to being prideful. If we're going to be honest about it, didn't pride make the devil the devil?
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Pride took him out of a place of perfect peace and cast him right out the house. God said, I'm not dealing with that over here. There's no room for that over here. If that's how you feel and that's how you want to roll, fine. Take all of those that feel like you, load them all up, put them in whatever you need to put them in, and hit the road.
Amen.
Pride leads to every other vice.
Yes.
It's an anti-God state of mind, period. If God was prideful, he never would have allowed Jesus to come. If Jesus was prideful, they never would have whooped him, not one time.
Amen.
They never would have put a crown of thorns on his head. They sure enough would have never spit on him. They never would have mocked him. They never would have called him a name. And he never would have allowed a nail to pierce his flesh if he was prideful. Because he would be like, do you know who I am? And what I can do? I dare you. Have you ever encountered it? And we encounter it in the church. And I heard of it. We preachers do that and they always say this. I'm not talking about here. Well, I'm going to talk about here because we're family. I had somebody come back and tell me someone cornered them in the library of this sacred place and said, don't you know who I am? I said, I hope you said no. There's no room for that here. Who are you, a man that puts on pants just like every other man, one leg at a time? I'm too old to try to jump in nothing. And if they don't fit, I ain't jumping into them. I'll get something else. Too many of us, we work in the church just to work, just to be busy and to be seen. And that is done at the expense of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. A servant of the Lord will be after the Lord's heart. In John 7 and 38, our Lord Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures had said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
Yes.
The next verse that Jesus was referring to is the Holy Spirit. A simple believer is said to overflow of the Holy Spirit into the lives of other people that the Lord has set before you. Are you following me? If you're here to be seen, go home. If you're here to serve, then serve. Serve with gladness. Serve with thanksgiving. Serve that so others will see the light of Jesus in you. Amen.
Amen.
What more, a servant of the Lord? The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm done. It says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These should be the qualities of a servant of God. Amen? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Nowhere in there does it say doormat. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Nowhere does it say compromise. Nowhere does it say, nowhere does it say that. It says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, but it doesn't say doormat.
Amen.
There's a difference. Kindness, but it doesn't say doormat. There's a difference. Gentleness, but it doesn't say weak. It doesn't say firm. It doesn't say compromise. It says gentleness and self-control.
Uh-huh.
Qualities of the servant of the Most High. You know, I've been in prayer all week long, thinking about some things and some folks and some people and some stuff. And I thought about this, and I thought about love, and I thought about joy, and I thought about peace, and I thought about long-suffering, and I thought about kindness, and I thought about goodness, and I thought about faithfulness, and I thought about gentleness, and I thought about self-control. And it's important that you don't pick and choose which one of those things that you're going to extend. You've got to extend them all, but you have to do it in a way that doesn't allow you to be compromised. You have to do it in a way that you can't be afraid that somebody will sit down.
Amen. Amen.
The same goes for our interpersonal relationships. We allow ourselves to be treated certain ways because we don't want to be alone. Am I talking to anybody?
Yes.
We'll settle for something rather than be alone. And see, we need to understand that all of these things will work together as long as we understand that it is ultimately for our good. Amen?
Amen.
We feel alone because we don't look to God where it says that when you are motherless, I'll be your mother. So we get lonely. And then we settle for the first thing that walk by with a smile.
Amen.
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 We will settle for the first person that come and say, I want to do this.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
And of all of these things, I wondered, and I'm done. I wondered about why is mercy not in there? So I went digging through some of my books and some of my expanded Bibles, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't even find it. I said, why is mercy not one of the gifts? And I had to pray about that thing, and I thought about it, and I said, well, if you show all of those things, you show mercy.
Come on,
amen, somebody. Just because the word isn't there doesn't mean that the action isn't there. When I said the fruit of the Spirit, why is mercy not there? And I looked and I spent about 2 hours digging through text and historical writings, and I couldn't find it. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and something spoke to me and said, because if you do all of those things, that is in fact under one word, and it's mercy. Mercy exhibits love. Come on, somebody. Mercy gives joy to the person that's on the other side of it. Mercy brings peace to a disruptful situation. Mercy projects our long suffering. Mercy delivers kindness to the person on the other end. Mercy exposes the goodness that is deep down within inside of us. mercy shows our faithfulness. Your mercy shows our gentleness. Mercy shows our self-control. How, preacher? Because I didn't say what I wanted to say to you. I said I love you. If the servants of God dwell in the presence of the Lord, and his spirit dwells in us, we would be merciful. We would be compassionate and we would be wise. You missed that. That was a spot to shout. If we are servants of God and we dwell in the presence of the Lord. If we dwell in the presence of the Lord, his spirit has no choice but to dwell within us. Because we can't be with him dirty. And he won't be with us dirty. So if we're in him, he has no choice but to be in us. And if he's in us, we'll show mercy. We'll show love. We'll show kindness. We'll bring peace. We'll deliver the undelivered. We'll save the unsaved. Simply by example. We won't be deceitful and filled with pride. You're growing and I'm not. Then get some work done. Get back. This is not. We talk about deceitful, not filled with pride. Servants, true servants, don't seek to bite, devour, and consume the very people that God put before him.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes. Not a true servant.
It doesn't say that. We don't seek to bite. We don't seek to devour. And we don't seek to consume. Consume means to just take up and make it gone. Mm-hmm. If you consume a plate of food, when you look back at the plate is empty. Yes. We should be filling into the lives of people. But now sometimes you can't fill into something that won't open up the door. You can't pour water into a pitcher that's full of dirt. You will end up with mud. Galatians 5 and 15. This is not of God, but the power of darkness, the devil, the spirit of Jezebel. Now I ask you, and in closing, don't we think I'm trying to be careful because I don't know what's going on. But maybe we just need to do what the Lord says. Amen. Don't we think that there's enough challenges in the church?
Yeah.
Don't we feel can't we be honest and look? Isn't there enough backbiting and stuff in the world? Can't we look outside and see what is happening to the church body? Don't we see that there is enough problems already? Don't we understand that there is enough darts being hurled at us from the world? Can't we get on the same page and understand that there is enough problems from the outside? So why on earth would we cause an internal conflict within the body? You can swing a dead cat and hit a problem. We don't need to bring. We shouldn't be in competition. Pastor Haley said on Friday night, we all have to live in this valley together. I'm not talking about walking through the valley. I'm talking about the Lehigh Valley. We all have to live in this valley together. And it should not matter how we worship. It shouldn't matter how we dress. It shouldn't matter whether we have a fan or a light. We have to live in this valley together. And if I am trying to build the kingdom, and you trying to build the kingdom, and you know who you believe in, and I know who I believe in, we should be able to coexist in love. Come on, somebody. We should be able to coexist in kindness. We should be able to coexist and grow independently and together.
Amen.
Why should we who who call and believe that we're servants of God, why would we purposefully dance to the devil's tune? Come on, somebody. If we're supposed to be what we say we are, why on earth are we dancing to the wrong music on purpose? A drumbeat of our pride and deceitfulness. Don't you know when we separate within the body? See, that shouldn't even be a statement. Are you hearing me? When we separate within the body, don't we realize that it squeezes the faith and the hope of our brothers and sisters?
Amen.
And we think that they don't see it. We think because we don't say it at a meeting that people don't see it. Don't we realize that when we separate within the body, that it squeezes the faith of our brothers and sisters? It squeezes the hope of our brothers and sisters. It squeezes the faith, the hope, and the effectiveness of the pastor.
Yes.
But praise God that he's not like us. He's merciful and he's forgiving. None of us, including me, are perfect nor profess to be. At least I don't. Because I can't help you get out of a hole if I'm not willing to say, look, I've been there. I'm going to jump in with you because I know the way out. You trying to climb up, but we just need to walk through here because I've been through here. But see, we don't want to do that. We want to pretend that we always look like this. If it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be here. I encourage us today, no matter what our status, in the body is, that we truly seek the Lord and we truly seek his guidance and we truly seek to make sure that we're in alignment with his word, not the pastor's word, but God's word. We need to examine our lives against this word. I didn't write it, none of it. But I know what it says. I know what it says. Look, Joel Osteen says, this is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. But he never tells anybody about the stuff it says that you can't do. So I encourage you, Mrs. Bass, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, her favorite scripture in all of the Bible. There were so many things that she could have picked that spoke to her spirit about the love of God, the communion of the saints, the promise of everlasting life. But the thing that touched her the most was 2 Timothy 2 and 15 that says, study to show yourself approved unto God, that a workman need not be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. And that should be our testimony, to study this thing. So when we step out of line, we get an immediate conviction in our spirit. It doesn't have to come from the deacon or the elder. The pastor don't need to get a phone call or a visit. It will come right to your spirit. Because the one thing that we will not deal in Restoration Temple is hearsay. If you're not willing to come, stand right here and blurt it out. Don't call me, don't send me no emails, don't send me a text message. Don't come to my house. If you're not willing to stand in front of God's people and say there is a problem, be quiet. Like they say when they marry somebody, speak now or forever, hold your peace. Am I talking to anybody? God's word is the ultimate authority over our life, and it is the ultimate authority over this house. If there's something that comes, we're going to crack this open, because I guarantee you the answer is right in it. And whatever it is, that's what we're going to do. Period. Amen, somebody?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, in accordance with the word of God in all our dealings. Psalm 34, one of my favorites, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on, somebody. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises shall continually be in my mouth. If his praise is continually be in my mouth, I won't have time to talk about you. If his praise is in my mouth, I won't have time to talk about what I heard. If his praise is in my mouth all the time, I won't have time to say nothing else about you. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord, and the humble will hear it and they'll be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and we'll exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Fear's the first thing that leads to Jezebel coming into the house. And it says that I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. So how do we get out of bed with Jezebel? Come on, saints. We get in the word of God, and we seek the Lord. And when we seek him in sincerity, he'll hear us. And when he hears us, he'll deliver us from every thing that scares us. They looked up to him and they were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him, and he saved him from all of his troubles. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Do you see a pattern? I sought the Lord and he heard me. I cried and he heard me. And it goes on to say that the angel of the Lord encampeth all around about them that were fearful, and they were delivered. See, when you call on God, when you seek God, when you call out to him, when you cry out to him, he'll send a team of angels. He'll dispatch it to your location to assess your needs and meet them right there where you are. But if you don't call him, if you don't ask him, he ain't coming. They did it. They called him, they sought him, the angels came and delivered him, and then they said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I can't tell you that something isn't good if I haven't experienced it myself. All I can tell you is what they did for her or what they did for him. But if you do what God asks you to do, seek my face, humble yourself, seek my face, humble yourself, seek my face. Humble, y'all are talking to me. Seek my face and humble yourself. I will send angels right where you are. And then you can tell others that you tasted me for yourself. Tell them all, taste and see that I'm a good thing. Taste and see that I'm a provider. Taste and see that I'm a healer. Taste and see that I'm a way maker. If you call on me, I'll come. And when I come, you can be a testimony to other folks that I'm whatever you need, I've got it. The Lord sits on high for those that are brokenhearted, and he saves them from having a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. This is a declaration. David wrote it. And we know David had his issues. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Somebody say, but the Lord.
But the Lord.
No, say, but the Lord.
But the Lord.
But the Lord.
But the Lord.
Delivers.
Delivers.
Out of them
all.
All. Not some. Not what he feels. He will deliver you from everything. But you've got to ask him for it. You've got to seek him. And when you do, it's a wrap. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know about you, but I believe God. I believe God. I've tried it my way many times, and none of it was effective. It seemed all right, but there was always a void. There was always something missing. What did they say? One is never enough. What's the second part of that?
One is too many.
One is too many, and a thousand ain't enough. You can only say that if you don't know God. what? One plus God equals what? Enough. If he's in it, whatever it is, you cannot fail. It may feel or look like failure to other folks. But if we trust him and we believe him, he'll work it out the way he wants it, in his way, in his time. He will get the glory. He'll get the honor. And he'll get the praise. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know him today?
Yes.
Do you know him completely? Do you trust him?
Yes.
Do you believe him?
Yes.
Do you believe he's exactly who he said he was? But now, yes, we say yes. Now, I challenge you to answer honestly. Are you trusting him 100%? Are you walking with him 100%. The doors of the house are open. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the full pardon of your sins, come. If you're walking on the fence, come. If you're lukewarm, come. And rededicate. If you have strayed away, come. God is willing, he's able, and he's looking to have your all, not your leftovers. God doesn't want your crumbs or sloppy seconds. He wants your first fruits. Amen. If you are looking over your life and there's something that doesn't make sense, and there's something that's not right, you don't owe it to the pastor, you don't owe it to the church, but you owe it to God to make it right. There's no room in the kingdom for half-heartedness. If there's one, come. Thank you. God will, that he can make it all right. Amen. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the visitation of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for everything that you've done for our undeserving spirits. God, we thank you for everything that you are doing even right now. While it may appear that you're not moving, we know that you're moving. And help us to be mindful of that. God, we're excited about that which you have yet to do. So God, as we prepare to enter from worship into business, kingdom business, help us, oh God, to be mindful. Help us to have open minds and open hearts to talk and discuss and receive the information that is going to be put out. God, we trust you and we believe you. And we know that all things work for good for those that love the Lord and that are called according to their purpose. And God, let me not be selfish. God, we ask a special blessing on the Evangel family. God, we ask that you would step in, do what you do, how you want it to be done. Bring order, bring love, bring growth. However you need that to happen, God, make it happen. We thank you for the fellowship that was established. We thank you, God, for the pastor of that house, and we ask, God, that you would continue to. God, we ask that you would be with her. We ask that you would touch her heart in a mighty way. Because, God, we know that when you touch something, you change it. And if any offense has occurred, God, charge it to our heads and not our hearts. And now from worship to business, we go. Be with us. We promise to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that a God such as you is due. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to him alone who is able to present you faultless before his great throne, to the only wise God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power henceforth, right now, and forevermore. Let God's people say amen. Say amen again. Amen. Again, I would ask that you would please refrain from going into the fellowship hall. Anybody that needs to go to the bathroom, do it now. Anybody that needs to go get a drink, call and check on your dog, whatever it is that needs to be done, do it now.